California.
That's the trouble. I can't make up my mind.
He chose poorly.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
You can't.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
The lake.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Welcome to Hope Talks Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
Folks, welcome again to our Wednesday afternoon, episode of Hope Talks Radio. For those who are new with us, Hope Talks Radio is a Christian apologetic show and an educational show brought to you by Reasons for Hope Ministry. So again, each week we appreciate you being with us. To learn more about Reasons for Hope, we ask that you go to the website rforh.com. Again, that's the letter R, F-O-R-H.com. And take some time to explore the great resources they have available. Folks, it seems like a Monday. I'm tongue-tied already. That's three in a row, and I haven't made it a minute into the show, so this should be interesting. But thank heavens, I've got with me this morning, I'm lucky to have with him on the phone, Carl Kirby, founder of Reasons for Hope Ministry, and as a founding board member of Answers in Genesis. Carl served for more than 15 years and did that before he co-founded the apologetics ministry Reasons for Hope. Carl has many roles in his life, son of a professional wrestler, air traffic controller at O'Hare Airport in the past, founding board member and, again, speaker for Answers in Genesis. He's also an author of many books. Some of my favorites, well, my absolute favorite is The Absolute Best Evidence That God Created. Love that one. Reasons for Hope, A Mosaic for Your Life, and many, many more. Now that I've flubbed that opening and your bio, Carl Kirby, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm blessed. No worries. It's easy to be tongue-tied, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, again, we're grateful to have you on the show today. Again, I gave a brief bio for folks that, again, many folks have been listening to the show for a while. Can you do a little bit better bio on yourself? Just give us a little bit of information about you.
The best thing I can say is a sinner saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, man. So that's really, when it comes to bio, that's the only thing that really matters. All the other things are just praising God that he gave me opportunities to be involved in and doing ministry. But love what you guys are doing. Missing Juan, he's out in California doing some youth ministry this week. It's kind of a neat one. But man, me, just a guy who's absolutely grateful to be allowed to do ministry.
Well, that being said, what's coming up as far as ministry for you?
Well, this weekend I'm actually going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. Looking forward to that. I'm with a buddy out there who, Pastor Mike, man, he's been at two other churches, well, more than that probably, but two churches that I've known him from. He's had me in two churches, one in Alabama, one in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. So, and he's still in Alabama. He's going to Birmingham now. He's in there, and he's got me coming there. And then next week after that, I'm at Sugar Creek, Ohio. Then I go out to Atlanta, and I'm there for a night, but then fly out to Vegas, and I'm speaking, thank you very much. I won't be pulling any one-armed bandits or anything like that. And then from there, go to Chicago to get down to Kankakee. That's a fun one because I'm getting to spend a couple, 3 days with some youth in a Christian school. So, yeah, man, it's rocking. I mean, it's amazing. I look at my calendar, and I'm just blown out of the water.
Now, people that are trying to follow what you and Juan are doing and going, where's the best place for them to find, like, your calendar? Or, again, if maybe folks want you coming to speak out in their neck of the woods, where would they find that information?
Yeah, thanks, man. It's our FORH.com website. You'll see the calendar on there. But if they want to get a little bit more personal, they could follow us on Facebook, like Reasons for Hope. I think it's just our FORH on Facebook. Do a search on Reasons for Hope, it'll come up, but or my personal webpage, because I'm always putting updates on there as well, where I'm going to be that weekend, and I'm just Carl D. Kirby, and Kirby's K-E-R-B-Y, and Juan Valdez, Juan, J-U-A-N, and Valdez, V-A-L-D-E-S, and he puts his calendar up there as well, but the central location would be the website, rforh.com.
Easy enough. Now, before we get into this, and it's going to be a great show, I'm just excited about doing this part of it. I just think it's important, again, as an apologetic show, as an educational show. Folks have heard me have discussions with Juan and some other folks that are phenomenal at it. One of the things that I love about you is a similar background, in the sense that I'd say that we weren't raised in the church, so to speak, in the sense that we found our faith in a different manner. We weren't raised in it, and that's okay. as it is okay for folks that were raised in it. But I think it gives you a little bit different perspective. Can you tell us how old you were when you were got saved and just that experience and how it's changed you? I mean, do we have a couple minutes to do that really quick?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, man. Anytime I could talk about salvation, that's, to me, honestly, yeah, we're going to talk about aliens, but more importantly, salvation. The only reason I talk about aliens is to talk about salvation, because every one of us needs to be saved. We're all sinners, and we need a Savior named Jesus Christ. And so all these other things that we talk about, all the apologetic stuff, which I love, don't misunderstand me, I love it. But the only reason I love it is because many times it's a tool that allows me to get into an opportunity to talk about what is really important. And I got saved May 15, 1987 in Salt Lake City, Utah, of all places. Now, up until that time, I would have told you I was a Christian because, you know, of course I'm a Christian. I'm an American. And that's, to me, you go to church a couple times a year, you know, CEO, Christmas, Easter, another holiday. And so you're a Christian, of course. And if you have a real problem, then you go to church and you kind of wave a magic wand and then you go and do your thing until things get bad again. Then you go to church. So I got saved when I was 26 years old, and it definitely had a profound impact on me. But a very major part of the process for me was the fact that my wife got saved before I did. And I'm the guy that took her to church. I'm the guy that took my brother to church. I'm the guy that took, you know, all these other people to church, and I wasn't saved. But when my wife got saved, that almost 2 years prior to me just breaking down and understanding that God was real and he was calling me, I was seeing something that was like, she's different. I've never experienced that. And so I think coming to it later in life was very important for me, because I know from where I come from. And it's very personal to me. I know who I was prior to Christ, and I know who I am now, and it is two totally different people. And my son and my daughter both received the Lord at a very young age, and that was my greatest fear as a parent growing up, is that they don't have that dramatic story, which is a good thing, which is every parent's desires for their child to not have the, man, I was a dude living in the pig, you know, sty, and then came on home. I don't want my child to have that, but as one of those that has that kind of a story, I was always a little bit nervous that, do they truly know the Lord? Because, man, when you've been on that side and now you're on this side, there's something in me that says, I don't ever want to be living in the pig cage again, dude. So, you know, I don't want to question anybody's salvation. And when I hear somebody give a testimony, my desire in life is for them to have that, look, I got saved when I was 5, 6 years old, and I never went into all that ridiculous stuff. That's my desire for them, because that's what you'd like to see. But my salvation definitely impacted me, just because, again, I remember who I was, dude, and I don't ever want that again.
Well, I think a piece to it, again, I have to believe that everybody's saved at the time God wants them saved. So the timing's irrelevant from his standpoint. The point, it happened at the time that he wanted it to happen. And I bring that up just briefly because as we go into this topic, and again, one of these days you guys will toss me off the show because I'm not probably as politically correct as some folks, but I would consider you, myself, and some of the other, and many of the other folks that we deal with, I'll use a term, we're not suckers. And what I mean by that is we're not easily sold. And not that everybody is easily sold, but I think because of a little bit some background and the background that you have and a lot of the folks that I don't have, we're skeptics. Maybe that's a better word, all right? The reason I bring that up is because we go into aliens, we go into the Bible, apologetics, any of that in general. My guess, knowing you and just knowing your background, is when somebody approached you with Christianity, how difficult was that for you to accept? I mean, did you say, that's ridiculous?
No. Absolutely, man. I mean, you talk about aliens. I mean, that's my approach when it came to, you know, Christianity, because, well, you know, when I was a quote-unquote Christian, I didn't want to get too fanatical about this thing, you know? And you know, I hear people use that term, he's a committed Christian. And in my head now, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? So that means that you can have not committed Christians? I think that's called lukewarm, you know? And lukewarm is not a good place to be. As a matter of fact, I think you're going to get spit out if you're sitting in the lukewarm camp. One of my favorite talks, honestly, is one's Three Chairs. brother, when he does that three chairs talk, it is powerful. And if you're sitting in that middle seat, lukewarm, you are a hindrance to the spreading of the gospel to the culture around us. And so I came to my whole faith very skeptically because I was the guy that I joke about this and I say, look, I was raised around guys with one name, Crusher, Bruiser, Mauler, Assassin. You know, when your dad's a professional wrestler, you don't grow up with an IQ, but you grow up learning how to tell a smell of fake and a fraud from a block away. And that's what I was, man. I mean, you hear these guys talking a good line, but then you see them off the stage. I'm always that guy. I go into church. I'm watching these guys before we go on and while we're on. And I'm looking for that hypocrisy. I'm sorry. I do. I still look for it. Because to me, if you're not the same as when I'm sitting here at the house with my family as when I'm out there talking to the people, man, there might be something wrong there. And so... yeah, that background definitely had an impact on the way that I am in my faith.
Well, again, folks, it's important as I go through that because we're very similar. In that sense, that's one of the reasons I enjoy being a co-host on the show is because my job, and I'll say it as we go into this, is to be the antagonist to a degree. And sometimes it's difficult because I try to reflect back on that pre-saved person and try to find that energy and that those questions and try to put it in. A lot of times I'm blessed because a lot of folks out there help me come up with the questions for these guys. So again, we're going to talk about aliens today. Carl, one of the reasons we are doing aliens today is because you've been working on a new talk, is my understanding. Can you tell us about that talk?
Yeah, you know, December was a time when I didn't travel as much as I typically do, so sat down and the creative juices started running, and I was just kind of reflecting after last summer. I had the privilege of being in camps for over 5 weeks, and one of the things that I was reflecting on, what were the questions that were coming up over and over and over again, and one of them happened to be aliens. So you know what, I just started saying, well, let's deal with it, let's go to the scripture, let's deal with it. And so that's how the talk came about. I've had a talk in the back of my mind for a long time, and I'm still working on it. I call it science fiction, a bridge to unbelief, because my personal opinion is that science fiction is a powerful tool. I grew up loving science fiction. I mean, I loved Star Trek and Star Wars and reading you know, science fiction. One of the things that I found in it is that it is absolutely a tool that's being used to undermine the authority of the Word of God. So I think it's a bridge to unbelief, because you don't get a Judeo-Christian Bible-believing culture that is sold out for the Word of God to where we are today in one simple step. I think it takes a series of steps to get us to the point that we are today. And in my humble opinion, one of the first steps to get us to where we are is for me to get you to doubt the Word of God and to doubt the God that reveals himself into the Scripture. So if I can introduce to you a new God, one who, uses millions of years of death and suffering, well, that's a big piece, brother, because if there's a God that created the way that he said that he did in the Word, he created perfection, gave man the freedom to make a decision, and consequences of that decision are seen all around the world. Death and suffering came as a consequence of man's action, not God's fault, not a process that he used. Well, if I can put that death and suffering that we see on God, man, it's a whole lot easier to me to leave a God that used what we see going on in the world today to get to where we are than to leave a God who loves us, created us, gave us perfection because he wanted to be with us. And so, and you see that in all the old science fiction stuff, man. They always intertwine God and evolution. So I think it's a bridge to unbelief, and I think aliens are another one of those key things, and that all just came about because of working with young people and seeing where they're at.
Let's get to the meat and potatoes of it. We've got about 15, 20 minutes here, and again, we've got some great questions on it. Let's just start with the basis. What is an alien? Yeah, it sounds like a silly question, but let's define that, what that is, so as we go
absolutely
through it.
Yeah, I mean, how can you talk about something if you don't define it? So what I did in my talk is I actually went to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary and looked it up, and an alien is, by the dictionary definition, is belonging or related to another person, place, or thing, differing in nature or character, typically to the point of incompatibility. Well, that doesn't say anything. I mean, that's not it. So here's something that I always tell people. I got really turned on to this by a dear family down in Florida. They're like, man, go back and look at an 1828 dictionary. Because 1828 dictionary is really, it's very interesting. If you look up a definition of a word in 1828 dictionary and a modern day dictionary, you'll be shocked at the differences. Words have definitely changed. So I went back to that 1828 dictionary, and it says an alien is a foreign, not belonging to the same country, land, or government, belonging to one who is not a citizen. And it's interesting, they even quote Scripture in there, in an 1828 dictionary. And it says, in Scripture, one who is a stranger to the Church of Christ or to the covenant of grace, and they quote Ephesians 2. That's still not got anything to do with what most people want to talk about. We want to talk about extraterrestrials. That's the thing that, you know, in our culture today, oh, E.T., you know, aliens and all that sort of a thing. So then you go look up extraterrestrial life in the modern dictionary, and it's originating, existing, or occurring outside the Earth or its atmosphere. And then you go to the 1828 dictionary, and you look up the extraterrestrial, you know what you find? Nothing. It's not even in there. It's this is kind of, to me, one of the neat things about defining your terms. When you come and you look at what we're all worried about today, we weren't even talking about aliens in 1828, man. It was like, it just wasn't even an issue. And so to me, what I did in the talk is, let's go back and look at the history of it. Where did this come from, and when did it start getting popularized? And 'cause to me, that's when you can kind of get some insights, is when you see what are specific events that occurred to get us to the point where we are today. And so, that's what alien is, essentially, is a life form originating outside of the Earth or its atmosphere.
Let me ask you just a block question, and I've asked a few people this, and I guess it's really a basis for a lot of it. As a Christian, do you believe aliens exist?
No. I do not believe that aliens exist as far as sentient life forms, the grays and all that sort of a thing. I do not believe that they exist as a life form that evolved in another planet. Do people see things? Yes, no doubt about it. And my personal opinion, I do believe that you've got a couple of things that are going on. Probably the predominant one would be... and this is where people, oh, no, he's one of the, I've become one of those committed Christians, one of those weirdo wackos. Demonic activity, brother. I believe that demons are real. I know they're real. If God is real, he talks about them. His word reveals them. And what are the motives of them to draw us away from God, to get us away from being able to trust the word of God especially? And so I believe that people are seeing some things in some circumstances. Sometimes I think it's just mistaken identity and those types of things. But when it comes to alien life form, I do believe some people are seeing some things, but it is not something that has evolved or was created in another dimension, another planet that is now coming here and doing the Puma Punta thing where they're building supposedly landing strips and, you know, and seeding the planet. No, I don't believe in aliens as we see them depicted in the modern-day movies at all.
Does it, if they discovered aliens tomorrow, all right, they found a planet like, oh, hey, look, they are building walls. Does that undermine the Bible? Would that destroy the credibility of the Bible?
I would say that it wouldn't destroy the credibility of the Bible. But frankly, I don't think it's possible. So if they were to find it, it's one of those big ifs. I mean, and we can always if everything to death. If they found a black hole, I mean, we still haven't even seen a black hole. This last year was kind of interesting. I got two articles within a matter of a week of each other. The first one says, we found a black hole complete with a picture that wasn't really a picture. It was something that was doctored. And then a week later, black holes are proven to not be able to exist. So, you know,
I read that.
It's just like, okay, all right. I do not believe that you're ever going to find them. If they did find them, here's what I say about when I looked at the scripture. What does the scripture say about aliens, extraterrestrial life? And there's a big blank nothing. I mean, you can't find anything in there. Now, some people are going to try to take some verses and say that, oh, I have other sheep, and those are the aliens. No, get out of here, man. That's what the Mormons said about the people in South America, Jesus came over here and talked to this sheep. And no, I don't. That doesn't fit with what the scripture teaches there. So it doesn't say, it does not give you a definitive answer on it, but I believe that there's some very strong biblical principles that would not allow them. Now, could I be wrong in my interpretation? Look, man, I'm flesh, I'm fallible, and yes, I could be. So it would not shake my faith if they were discovered, but the way that I understand the scripture, I can't see it.
Okay, and that's important. And again, the reason I ask that, folks that are listening, I've asked this question to a lot of the folks on the show because it's an interesting topic to me for a million different reasons, but one of them is my question with any of these types of issues is, are we defending it because if we don't, we feel that our position is compromised? And so you answer that.
No, you don't
feel it'll be compromised. So you could have your own interpretation on, which is perfect. Because you're right, to some of the scriptures, I'm going to throw the one you said up there, since you killed my thunder on it, John 10:16, John says, I have other sheep, which are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And my understanding of these interpretations of these, one was a Michael Heiser, who was an influential Christian, you know, ufologist, and had a PhD in Hebrew, you know, Bible studies, and et cetera, et cetera. And I think a lot of these guys have concern. They felt that if aliens were discovered, it would undermine biblical principles or positions. So I felt that they kind of moved into that that gray of like, we don't know, but let's cushion ourselves just in case. Because one of the other quotes that they use, or Christians, I think in general, are looking for trying to find an opening. And again, maybe there's an opening, maybe there's not. I don't know. I'm just the host here. It's Hebrews 11:3, and it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. And the word worlds appears in the King James Version translation, yada, yada, yada. So again, your understanding is there's a few of these scattered verses throughout the Bible, but there's nothing that specifically is really reflecting towards life on other planets. Pretty fair to say?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I just, Steph, I've heard that before on the worlds thing, and it's interesting. I was reading an article just the other, I mean, not even just the other day. I mean, it was like within the last day or so. And here's what I read. It's weird that you bring that up because I just happen to have it, and it says this. The word worlds appears in the King James translation and some others, and some claim that it refers to other inhabitable planets. However, the word, and I can't even say what it is, man, they've got it all laid out there, from which we derive the word eons. Thus, modern translations render the word as universe, entire space-time continuum, because it correctly describes everything that exists in time and space, visible and invisible, present and eternal. Even if it was referring to other planets, it is unwarranted extrapolation to presume intelligent life on them. So, it's kind of like there's other phrases in the scripture, the heavens and the earth. You know, it's a figure of speech. So, he created other worlds, but that doesn't necessarily mean that on those worlds that he has placed life. And that's why, to me, then I come back to the scripture and say, okay, who can have salvation? Well, only the descendants of Adam and Eve can have salvation. And so, if he created, quote-unquote, other worlds, and he put life forms on them, well, then, man, they can't have salvation because they're not descendants of Adam and Eve. And then you start getting into all these hoops. People start jumping through hoops. Well, they never sinned, you know? Excuse me. That definitely doesn't fit with what Scripture teaches. I mean, so Jesus went there and preached to them because they're this other sheep. And all of a sudden, man, we really start trying to stretch things to make a fit for something that, why?
There you go.
Why are we doing that? For because we have reports of little gray dudes with big heads walking around and building landing strips in South America?
Right.
I don't understand it personally, you know.
Well, it's interesting because, again, exactly what you said, and again, we've only got about 8-10 minutes left in the show. We're going to do this again next week as well because it's a great topic. Because you're right, down the rabbit hole we go. So we'll take one small step down that rabbit hole. Here again is the Michael Heiser, the Christian ufologist, and again, ancient Semitic languages expert. He goes, because they are not descendants of Adam, they have not inherited his sin nature, as you were mentioning, and thus are not morally guilty before God.
The whole of creation groaneth and prevaileth because of man's sin. Man's sin has destroyed everything, including if there were other life forms out there, they would have suffered the consequence of man's sin, because the word that's used there is everything was impacted by man's sin. So,
right. So,
his
loophole is, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you go ahead with the loophole.
Oh, I was going to say, so that's his loophole, is exactly what you're saying. He says, because they're not descendants of Adam, they did not inherit his sin nature, and thus are not morally guilty before God. Just like, quote-unquote, bunny rabbits on earth, love this, they do not need salvation. Even though they will die, they are going to neither heaven nor hell. And again, as a non-Bible expert, I'm about as layman as it gets, I look at that, and I'm like, wow. Now we're going down a whole other road of interesting. Now the aliens are like bunny rabbits. Again, I could see where you can get down this road. Now I even again as a layman, I see they're trying to put a square peg in a circle hole.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So they've never sinned, okay? Then why are these little gray beans coming here and experimenting on humans? I think there's got to be a sin involved in that, brother. I mean, if these aliens are doing all these accounts that people, let's just say that they're real for a second, and they're coming here and they're having sex with humans, and we got these deformed things going on, and we've got these abductions, I believe that would classify as sin. And so they have, in fact, sinned. They are not sinless. They still need a Savior. And when you read what the Scripture says, only descendants of Adam can have saved. Jesus Christ came and died once for some, once for humans, once for Klingons. No, once for all. Well, who's the all? Only the descendants of Adam. So now you're really going down a deep thing again, where now Jesus has to come and die here, and he's got to go and die there, and he's got to go die for the grays, and he's got to go die for the tall humanoids with the little fuzzy heads. And when you start reading all these different descriptions of these aliens, well, he's got to go and die for each and every one of them. I'm sorry, Scripture just doesn't. It's not that complex. We're making it too hard.
It's interesting because I know I'm supposed to be the antagonist here. I'll be a significantly harder antagonist next week. The thought that came to my mind, and again, I'm neutral on the topic for the show, but the thought that came to my mind is we're created in God's image. Okay, if God created us in His image, and we evolved, so to speak, as humans, we've grown, we've developed, gotten more intelligent, technology has evolved. We still don't have the technology it would take to do what quote unquote the aliens are doing to get here. So if God created us in His image, what did He create the aliens in? In a better image, a more intellectual image? Because it would take the technology that they have to get here is obviously superior to anything that we can even imagine or comprehend at this stage. That I struggle with that. So did God create a better alien or verse here? And again, it goes back to why? I don't understand the logic behind it, but that's a whole other topic.
No, with all that great technology that we're able to go across space at warp speeds and all this sort of a thing, you're going to come here and you're going to build pyramids? Seriously? After I started studying, I had to do a follow-up because there was so much to it. Then I was like, okay, so what's the best evidence on this planet to show that extraterrestrials have come here, according to those that believe it? And that's that whole Puma Punta thing. I just started looking that up, and so you get this pile of rocks, down there that, guys are telling you this was an ancient landing strip, and this is where the mothership was out there, and they sent down one of the scout ships, and overnight they built this thing out of all these rocks, and you're like, okay, so these are folks that are able to do this kind of technology, and they came and they built this rock thing that is just, it's a mess, dude. It's a mess. No, it's cool, don't get me wrong. There's the designs in the rock and the shape and the looks of them, very, very cool. But if that's the best they got when they got here with all this amazing technology, I don't know, man. I don't see it.
That's interesting stuff. And again, the ancient aliens theories, we're going to get into that a lot next week. Okay, we've got limited time because this is I'm excited about the fact that this is a topic that, again, I've received about 15 different questions on. I've got four of this earlier today as we were doing the show, actually. So we're going to have to obviously continue to do this at another time. For folks that are just tuning in, Carl, again, we've got a couple minutes here. Tell them why this is an important topic as far as aliens, ancient aliens. It doesn't have to be aliens necessarily, but aliens in general. As we pick this up again next week, why is this important?
Well, to me, in the world, you've got to understand what's the tool that's being used to get us to doubt the Word of God. Because undermining the Word of God is the number one tool that I believe Satan can use to get us to where we are in our world today. 400,000+ churches, and Christianity is almost invisible in America. I mean, it's just a reality that the church is lost a lot of its authority. Why? Because they lost the Word of God as an authority. It became a good book, spiritual and moral, fairy tales and fables. And so in my head, I'm always trying to see what are the questions, what are the tools that are being used to get us to doubt the Word of God. Satan asked a simple question in the very beginning. Did God really say that? It wasn't the question. It was the tool. The tool was doubt. So now in our culture today, what are the questions that are being asked to get us to doubt? Because I think that the tool is going to remain the same, but the way that it manifests itself is going to change. And that are the questions that are being asked. And in our world today, if we're honest, just go out and have the conversations with the young people. The alien issue is a biggie. The television, the movies, they're jamming them down the throat. It's almost a given. And if you take that history that we see being given to us in the script, in the world, and compared to what the scripture says, it totally contradicts it, and only one can be true. So, to me, the reason aliens, creation, evolution, these other issues that we deal with are important is because they are tools that are being used to get a generation to doubt the Word of God. And once you lose Genesis 1:1, you'll never sell out for John 3:16.
You remember that. For next week, Carl, what are some of the topics we're going to talk about? So, again, we're going to go back to your talk. We're going to put a little focus on that, and again, we got some great background today for folks that are going to tune in next week, and we hope that you do for Aliens Round 2. What are some of the things that we're going to discuss?
I'd say maybe let's hit the history of it. Understand, when did they start getting popularized? What were some of the specific events that happened? What are some of the tools that were used? How about some of the teaching, you know, that we saw on in the television, in the movies, that were used to get these things to the forefront the way that they are in our culture today? I'd say that we cover some of those things, and I'm sure you've already got some issues that you've got on there, but, you know, that'd be some things that I'd say we take a look at.
Absolutely. Again, folks, we want to just thank you for taking the time to listen to Hope Talks Radio with us. We hope you enjoyed the show, and again, we ask that you continue to send your questions, especially this week. Again, if you have some more questions or questions in general for the ministry, please send those to info@r4h.com. Again, the website is the letter R, F-O-R-H. com. So again, we can read them on the air or answer them directly to you. And as always, to hear previous shows and find out some of the other phenomenal great resources they have, go to the R4H website. Before we go, Carl, again, I appreciate you taking some time with us. And as always, it's too quick, it's too fast. There's so much more to this that we want to get to, and we'll do that next week. But as I do every week, I'd like to ask our guest or teacher, if folks listening today could only take one thing away from the show, what would you want it to be?
Man, I'd want them to take away that God's word is real, it's trustworthy, and there's a battle going on in the culture, and that's where we've got to be. Don't run, don't hide, get into the scripture, study to have an answer why you believe what you say you believe, so that you will, when you have that answer, then you will hopefully become bold enough to go out and to share the truth with someone in a loving manner, not arguing, not fighting, not demeaning, not ridiculing, but loving them with the love that Christ has loved us with, and sharing that truth with them. So get into the Word. It's trustworthy, man. Do some digging.
Amen. Well, folks, thanks so much again for listening to Hope Talks Radio. Until next week, take care, God bless, and be bold.
Thought the grave would silence him forever, but